our community connection this morning, brought to you by Advanced Orthopedics of Oklahoma. I get the opportunity to spend a little bit of time talking with State Senator Julie Daniels, and Happy New Year, first of all, Senator, and best wishes for 2019.
Well, thank you, Charlie. Happy New Year to you and everybody in the listening audience of KWN. We are so blessed to have a vibrant local radio station to present us the news and the weather and keep us up to date and to do things like this community connection. But I hope everybody enjoyed their New Year's Eve celebration and that we're all off to a good start this year.
Me too. Senator, 2019, first of all, I know we've reported it earlier this, like last month or so, a chairmanship and a vice chair for you, I believe. And, of course, you've been busy working with medical marijuana, a budget that will give state, I believe, a little bit more money than you're used to spending and some choices to be made there. So we got a lot of things to talk about this morning.
Well, yes, and let's just, in reverse order, since I know people are interested in the dollars and how this budgeting works, it is true that the initial certification of the money that we will be allowed to appropriate next year is $7.3 billion. And we can only appropriate 95% of that in case something goes awry, so essentially $7 billion.
Okay.
But it won't be till mid-February till the Board of Equalization confirms that number. So when people start to ask questions about the budget and how much a certain agency is going to get and what do we support in terms of appropriations, we can't answer any of those questions just yet. For one thing, agencies are still making their budget requests, and you can't consider the whole budget until you have everybody's requests in front of you. And in point of fact, you mentioned that I'm now vice chair of an appropriations committee dealing with public safety and judiciary. And I've been asked specifically to look at how we fund the judiciary in Oklahoma and can we do anything differently in trying to advance more ideas of criminal justice reform and making it easier for people to re-enter society, decrease some of their financial burden because of the way we structure fines and fees. And so that's kind of a long-term thing, but those are the sort of budget things I'm working on right now, but it's far too early to be able to report to my colleagues or to the community how that's all going to play out. But we're actively engaged in those first steps. And then I was asked to serve on the Appropriations Committee this year. The last 2 years, the entire Senate sat as the Appropriations Committee, but the pro tem treat has decided he wants to go back to a more traditional committee. So I will be on that committee that puts to the Senate those final decisions about a budget. But we're talking April. We're talking maybe early May. Depends on how smoothly all the deliberations discussions go. But so in terms of the numbers, that $7 billion, we have some bills we have to pay up front. And I think that sometimes gets lost in the narrative. So I did a quick calculation. They said that we could have $612 million extra dollars to spend with the way the economy has improved. But I've added up as of last week that we have about $332 million in bills that we have to pay before we have any discretionary dollars to allocate. And those things include paying for the increase in teachers' health care benefits. Those aren't part of the education budget, but they cost several hundred million dollars a year, and they go up each year. So an extra $25 million this next fiscal year for teacher insurance. Some businesses get an incentive to bring their jobs to the state, and one of those incentives can be that they don't pay property taxes for a while. But that doesn't mean that the counties and the school districts don't receive their money. We, the state, make up for that. So we're going to reimburse about $90 million this year to various counties and schools because their property taxes aren't being paid by the businesses there. And it's wind industry that is a big recipient of this benefit. then federal funding can change. The feds have decided that they're not going to fund at the same level the Children's Health Insurance Program called CHIP. So if we want that program to continue as it is, we will need to find $14.8 million more dollars. And one more, we had a Supreme Court decision earlier this year that went against the state, and I won't go into the details. It's kind of a weedy one, but we may end up owing a couple of entities anywhere from $50 to $80 million. Now, how do you do that repayment? I don't know if it has to be done all at once. Can you do it over a number of years? Do you incur interest if you do it over a number of years? But that's a hit to our discretionary budget that we didn't anticipate. And so all those things have to be done before you can start to think about granting an agency additional dollars. And that's what happens early on in the year. Get together, make people understand, here are the things we absolutely have to pay for before we can discuss any budget increases from the agencies.
And you mentioned three words, criminal justice reform, and I know that was a ballot measure a few years ago, and the state is still moving forward on that. But that seems like a balancing act between making sure that people who need to be incarcerated because they are a menace to society, menace to whomever, or trying to have laws that are still strict enough that it is somewhat of a, if a person thought about an act that maybe they might not do it. But on the other hand, keeping the prison population low and being comparable to maybe some other states where the penalty for the same act is considerably less than what we still have on the budget, or on the books, rather. So that's kind of a balancing act as I see it on criminal justice reform. Am I correct?
Oh, yes. And Charlie, of course, you're very engaged in this issue with your long history with Crime Stoppers. And you well know that you can have the best intentions of in the world, and you can pass a statute or you can pass a state question, and then the rubber meets the road and you think, oh my goodness, there was an unintended consequence over here, or something was overpromised. You know, if you will do this thing immediately, there will be a huge benefit. Well, now you find out that benefit may play out over a number of years, and you can only get to that advantage if you do something else in between that you hadn't planned on. I do not think that in Oklahoma we live now in a lock them up and throw away the key, or everybody should be let out of jail. I don't believe either of those extremes is what is driving the discussion. It's more now, we've done this and it's affected this over here, and maybe that wasn't quite the right way. What can we do for those folks who remain incarcerated to get them rehabilitated, educated, get them a skill so that when they walk out of that facility, they aren't immediately attracted to go back to the lifestyle that they lived before because they have no skill, they have no prospects of being able to lead a productive life. So even though it's a lot about trying to reduce the numbers of people who are incarcerated, we need to be doing more for those who are there. If you are going to release people early or not send them to prison at all through a diversion program for drug abuse or mental health issues, you have to have that funding in place. That was a piece of 780 and 781 that, that money is just not there. The savings are not enough to pay for those programs. So you have to decide, is that a place we're going to put some of this discretionary money in a new budget? Are we going to start to put more money towards that? Because the people of the state of Oklahoma are interested in criminal justice reform. So my very personal opinion right now is that it's all a bit confusing. We've got people with the same goals in mind, but they're going at it from different directions, and it's actually creating some conflict among people who want to achieve the same goals. So I'm going to spend a whole lot more time trying to educate myself as to the way forward, because, Charlie, we could spend every penny of taxpayer dollars over and over again and not satisfy the demands for that spending. So we've got to be so careful that where we spend it, it's going to be effective and not seen as wasteful. Trying something and go, oh, we should have given that more thought because that's not working. But now the criminal justice reform issues, I think, are really, we're getting down to the nitty-gritty. We really got to think through carefully how we move ahead. But I want everybody to know it hasn't been put on a back burner. Just because you don't hear a lot about it doesn't mean work isn't being done. It's just not the sexy work right now. It's the sitting down, going through the things that have been passed, seeing where the problems are. Outside of that area, there's a perfect example that I, as a senator, and I know my colleagues all over the state are dealing with, in an attempt to address the opiate addiction problem. We passed a bill last year, it was Senate Bill 1446, and it had a huge impact on people who are, and I'm going to put this in quote, benefiting from being on opiate drugs for pain management. And it has created a huge problem, and I will say, and I absolutely believe this to be true, a lot of suffering. And I don't think that was the intention. So we need to take a step back and see, did we overstep? Did we make life so difficult for those who are using their drugs appropriately? They have a relationship with their doctor. They are not abusing the drugs. They haven't fallen into this addiction cycle. And we need to dial it back and make it work, because we have a category of drugs that can be very, very helpful, even though they are also very dangerous. And that was kind of an unintended consequence that I hope we will address this year. So same thing with criminal justice reform. Maybe we've done a few things and got out ahead of ourselves, and now we need to be a little more thoughtful as we move forward.
Absolutely. We're going to take a break, and we will continue our time this morning with Senator Julie Daniels on a Community Connection on 1400 K1 in just a moment.
Announcing the new Advanced Orthopedics of Oklahoma. Two of Oklahoma's premier orthopedic experts, Central State Orthopedics and Eastern Oklahoma Orthopedic Center, EOC, have now merged to become Oklahoma's premier orthopedic healthcare expert, Advanced Orthopedics of Oklahoma, PLLC. So if you're in need of back surgery, knee or hip replacement, call the specialist at Advanced Orthopedics of Oklahoma, 918-494-9300. Advanced Orthopedics of Oklahoma now offers the best orthopedic care in the state. And I should know, it's where I had my back surgery. So whether you're in need of back surgery, hip or knee replacement, trust your happiness to Advanced Orthopedics of Oklahoma, located in the Natalie Building at 65th and Yale. Call 918-494-9300. Advanced Orthopedics of Oklahoma.
Continuing our time with Senator Daniels on this morning, and Senator, a couple of issues that I wanted to at least touch on briefly. Something happened last April 2nd called the teacher walkout. Teacher pay was addressed, but again, I think everyone, whether you're in the education community or not, realizes we've addressed teacher pay, but still not dollars that would get more teachers back into the classroom, so classroom size is smaller. And then I want to spend just a little bit of time talking about medical marijuana with you this morning.
Okay. And on the education situation, that budget was increased, I think, about $500 million last year with the three tax increases that were passed, and the teachers did get a much-deserved increase in the minimum salary schedule. So everyone benefited from that. There was, I don't have all the numbers in front of me, but there were increases to the to the operational budget of the schools aside from the pay raises. The legislature did something for the first time, which was to get involved in the pay of support personnel. That was a new, and I hope a one-time thing. That should be a local issue, but we did put in money specifically earmarked for that particular thing, put in money for textbooks, and so there were operational dollars in there, and I think that the superintendent for public education, Secretary Hoffmeister, I thought her request for next year was several hundred million dollars, but I don't know that her formal request has been made yet. On the Senate side, our Republican caucus is very interested in making sure that children spend time in class. And I believe that we are going to be focused very much on the five-day school week. And that probably does require dollars. I don't know the figure. But that's been a discussion among our group ever since we adjourned last May. And certainly more dollars will be considered. I know Governor Stitt has spoken about performance measures, student outcomes. I know the pro tem treat has said the same thing, tying additional dollars to measurable outcomes. And I do not know what that will look like. Again, as I said earlier in the interview, it's such early days yet.
Sure. And so though
we are well aware that operational dollars are needed, and of course, when talking about more money in the classroom, to me that includes all the money that we do spend on our professional educators,
their retirement,
their health care, their salary. So to me, that's all part of dollars in the classroom. So I'm not sure how everybody is calculating things. I know that there's an attempt for everybody to agree on what a per-pupil expenditure includes and doesn't include, because often with education, we're comparing apples to oranges. Each set of figures is different because they factored in different things. And it would be very helpful to elected officials and to the general public, because we pay for all of it, to understand what's included in the calculation. But yes, additional increases will be considered. Went back to how much discretionary money will we have. But one more thing on education and other agencies that benefit from apportionment. Our economy's improved, and less than 50% of what we spend is what you and I talk about, this appropriated budget. Education does receive a lot of apportioned dollars. So as the economy's improved and more money comes in, they are benefiting from increases in those apportionments. And those don't go into the calculations that we're talking about in terms of the budget that we look at in the spring. So agencies are benefiting from the improved economy, even as the legislature has its discussions about how to appropriate this $7 billion. So I'm glad for everybody that the economy is improving, and certainly hope that it continues to do so. And you wanted to ask about medical marijuana, and I'm not looking at the clock. I know you are.
I have only about two or 3 minutes, but that's all I've got left. Yeah.
So there is a draft bill, comprehensive bill. I do not know how much influence we can have on how that is drafted. That is one of my calls tomorrow, because we are on a Senate deadline this week. Thursday, we have to have initial language for our bills. I'm looking at a number of medical marijuana-related bills, specifically from the point of view of employers and the point of view of municipalities. I'll be meeting with Lisa Beeman again tomorrow morning. And I want to make sure that we follow the spirit of 788, but we understand that it impacts more than just the people who choose to get a medical marijuana license. It impacts everyone. So we just need to make sure that in the workplace and in our communities, that there's a balance between the interests of the users of medical marijuana and everyone else. So I'm concerned about those things. And if I can get some of this language into this draft comprehensive bill, I'll pull back from my own bills. So I just need to find out which vehicle we are going to use for that. I have read through the latest edition of the draft bill. It's now much clearer to me what's been achieved since the hearings that were held over the past few months that I participated in. And I see a way forward, but of course I'm one person. I don't know who is out there who's going to try and throw a dart at something. I come to the table thinking let's all get together and we can make this work. I know that there are some people who don't function that way. So we'll just see what happens. But I'm actively engaged in that. And I hope that we can advance something on medical marijuana early in the session, and that our colleagues will look to all of us who served on that bicameral bipartisan commission, known as the Joint Commission, and say, we understand that you did all this legwork and you took in all this information, and we are happy to bless your outcome because we know there's been a lot of deliberation. So that would be a perfect world, Charlie.
Sure.
But I know we would like to settle all those issues because the industry is up and running and people are getting their licenses and they are using various forms of marijuana. So we need to get the bureaucratic side done so that everybody knows the rules that we're all going to play by.
Well, Senator, thank you very much for your time. Again, I appreciate your willingness to give us a conversation on the topics we've talked about on New Year's Day. And again, best of luck in all your endeavors. And I know you'll continue to communicate and converse with your constituents. Thank you very much, Senator.
Well, Happy New Year to everyone. And it's an honor to serve District 29. And Charlie, you have a great day.
Thank you very much. Senator Julie Daniels on this New Year's morning on AM 1400, 93.3 FM. Community Connection brought to you this morning by Advanced Orthopedics of Oklahoma. We'll get towards news time coming up in just a moment.
Going to the pharmacy can be the worst shopping trip ever, but it doesn't have to be. Limestone Pharmacy at Millwater Road and Highway 75 is owned by pharmacist Jackie Gallery. She can do everything the big guys can do, and one thing they can't. With Jackie, the owner is in the store. Employees don't get rude with the boss in the shop. Oh no. Customers get treated as they should. Get the old-fashioned treatment you deserve at Limestone Pharmacy, Highway 75 and Millwater Road. Like the big boy.